A good night, Shabbos. This is Mrs. Tehila Lipschitz. It's such a pleasure to address you. We're going to explore a very relevant topic together. So if you work with little kids, have little siblings, you probably hear on about once a week basis something to the tune of, it's not fair. She always gets this, or I never get that. It's not fair. Human nature is fixated on things being equal, and we don't outgrow it. Little kids could be bothered by the fact that their sister got a candy, or then you're in elementary school and somebody got a part in the play that you didn't think was rightfully deserved. And then you're back from seminary and you could be bothered by the fact that somebody gets read more shidduchim because their family has yichus or money, and it feels so irritating that it's just so unfair. And then somebody could be, you know, in adulthood, people get very, very bothered when things aren't equal and somebody gets a promotion based on connections. It really bothers us. Society at large is absolutely fixated on this concept of equality and things that need to be fair and equal and the same. And we know that there's very hot topics that things like health equity and there's, you know, no one should be discriminated against. And these are real social issues that are very trendy because equality is something that strikes a chord within human beings. So, and we know that societies at large have tried different approaches to tackling this issue. There's one solution, which is a very extreme, of the like caste system in India, where tough you are, exactly where you were born into, and that social strata determines your entire life's opportunity or lack of opportunity. If you're the untouchable, the lowest, forget it. Nabach on you. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have these societies with socialism and communism to the extreme, trying to say, yes, everyone is equal. Did it work? No, it didn't work because it's impossible. It's an unattainable dream to really make everyone equal. The Torah strikes a beautiful balance of what an amazing, amazing approach. On one hand, what's the Torah perspective? On one hand, we have hierarchy. We don't pretend everyone's equal. Every morning, you said just this morning, Berachas HaShachar, Shelo Asani Aved. We have more mitzvos, more obligations than an Aved does. A man says Shelo Asani Isha. They have more obligations than a lady does in terms of mitzvah saseh. There's differences. There are differences. We are not equal. We don't attempt to be equal. We don't pretend that we're equal. And on a society level, a social level, there's Kohen Levi Yisrael. We're divided into different groups. And there is a certain hierarchy. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, has his Gabbaim, divide his male, according to obvious Kohen names. Kohen, a name that's obviously a Kohen, or a family name that's obviously a Levi, goes into the second pile, like Levi or Horowitz. And the third pile is for Yisrael, for names that we don't know, you know, so they put in the third pile. And he answers in order of Kohen, then Levi, Yisrael, in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah, v'kidashtem, of according honor and respect to Kohanim. So there is a hierarchy. At the same time, it does not bother me one iota. Why should it not bother us that things aren't fair or equal? Because the hierarchy, the differences, they just indicate what your role is. And that's where the work begins. Because once you know your role, you can know a little bit more about your job and your potential. Then Hashem only looks at how well do you measure up to yourself, to how good you could be. That's an unbelievable concept. It's like with Avram Avinu being tested, Avram, twice. Avram being measured up to Avram, his potential. We see in this week's parsha this concept being brought out so beautifully and exquisitely in Va'era Vav Chafav, where it says, who Aaron and Moshe? The pasuk mentions Aaron and Moshe. Now the Mefarshim are bothered by this because sometimes Moshe is mentioned before Aaron and sometimes Aaron before Moshe. Why is the Torah changing up the order? So the Ibn Ezra gives an answer that Aaron is older. There are certain aspects in which he is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, even though we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the man of Yisrael. But there's the Rashi quotes a Mechalta. And he says, Yesh mekomo shemakdim Aaron leMoshe. There are some areas, some spots where we say Aaron's name before Moshe. Yesh mekomo shemakdim Moshe leAaron. Sometimes Moshe goes before Aaron. Lomar lecha, to teach you. Sheshakulin keechad. They were equal as one. They were equal. Now, pause for a minute. They were equal? Were they equal? One of the Yod Gimel Ikrim is that we never had or never will have a Navi on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. It is a violation of the fundamental tenets of our faith to say that somebody was as great as Moshe. So what is Rashi teaching us? And we know it's a concept that we're probably very familiar with. If you remember, if you went to Beis Yaakov Baltimore middle school, Rabbi Hexter had an aphorism, You can be like Moshe and Aaron, but one thing is essential. Keep on striving and climbing to reach your potential. Moshe and Aaron were equal in the sense that they were equally great. They each maximized their potential. Aaron and Moshe each lived up to who they could be, the best person they could be. And this concept is so empowering. It's so empowering because it means, first of all, you're not expected to be like anybody else. You're expected to be the best, most incredible you that you could be. On the other hand, it's a little bit scary because you can't feel like you're doing great compared to your peer group. You need to compare yourself to who you know you could be. And that's something that requires introspection and self-knowledge and siyata shmaya to try to know, how much more should I push myself? What could I strengthen myself in? Where should I be kinder to myself and easier on myself? And where should I stretch myself? The famous story about Reb Zusha of Annapolis says that when he gets to Shemayim, he's not worried that they're going to say, Zusha, why weren't you Avram Avinu? He's not scared of that because they're not going to ask him that. What makes him nervous? They're going to ask him, Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? So each one of us needs to look ourselves in the eye in the mirror and say, why am I not being the best, fill in your name here, that I could be? We each receive a modified test, so to speak. Your questions and my questions are not the same. Hashem knows our potential and knows what he expects of us. And on the same token, it means that you're not going to compare yourself. You're not going to be hard on yourself. If you're reading a book about Rebbe Sanhedrin Malchus, it's going to lead you to be inspired and apply it to your own life and what you could do. It's not going to make you feel like, oh, I'm never going to be Henny Malchus. Because you don't need to be Rebbetzin Kanievsky or Mrs. or Rebbetzin Henny Machlis. You need to be the best you could be. The other end, also, it's such a sobering thought that we have no basis on which to judge another person. I can never look down on anyone else because I don't know how much she is achieving compared to her potential. That's the way Hashem judges us. And that beautiful paradox helps us inspire and balance our perspective that we're not equal, we're unique. And that is the most freeing and empowering thought because I can be equally great. We can each achieve a greatness on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu if we meet and maximize our own potential. May Hashem give us all siyata d'shmaya and atzlacha to know where to be strict, where to be loose, where to help or push ourselves more, where to be kinder and more, you know, more relaxed, easy on ourselves, so that we can meet our potential and be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Have a wonderful Shabbos.